I'm Rob, and welcome to East Lake. Glad you're here. This is a church for every type of person. And we all have a life that includes lots of different rules. There's rules where I work. There's the rules that I have to follow when I drive, rules go to the restaurant. There's rules in our families. Here's the definition of a rule. A rule is may not be written in a family in a rule book, but it's when the family knows this is how it's done. That's the rule. This is how we do things. That's the rules. And you have rules in relationships. I was talking to a woman about 6 months ago, and in her family, the rule was, and it was a very serious rule, everybody drives Fords. That was the rule. So the dad drove a Ford, and the brothers drove a Ford, and her brothers picked a car out for her. It was a Ford. But she meets this guy, and they're on their way to be engaged, and he's helping her do shopping for a new car, and he doesn't want to buy a Ford. The brothers instantly don't like that guy. Well, he can't be the right guy for you. He possibly can't. I mean, he doesn't like Fords. And he convinces her to buy a car, but it's not a Ford. Now listen, the rules in her family are you buy a Ford. This is how it's done. This is how we do things. What's the rules in your family? And they're not printed anywhere where you see them right away, but you've known them all your life. These are the rules. This is how we do things in this family. In our family, everybody goes to college. In our family, people go to this school. In our family, you only date these type of guys. In our family, you only date these type of girls. In our family, everybody goes to this type of church. Families have rules. I talked to her recently, and she bought a car that wasn't a Ford, and she said her brothers were still furious at her. And didn't like this guy because she broke the rules of the family. Because we all have rules. Now the question is, when do I follow the rules and when do I follow the relationship? For instance, let's say I'm up camping with my buddies and one of my guys has got his knife out and he slices his leg open, screwing around with his knife. It starts bleeding everywhere. He hits an artery and there's blood everywhere. He's like, you got to get me down to a hospital. So they throw him in my truck, and I go out of the campground and I get onto the road and it says 45 miles per hour. So I start driving 45. And he's like, yeah, come on, speed up. I'm like, dude, chill. There's rules. How appropriate is that? Take a little further, not to get all grossed out this morning, but let's say he doesn't make it. Bleeds out. And we're all at the funeral, and I stand up at the funeral, and I walk up. Everybody gets to go to the microphone and say a few words, and I go to the microphone, and I say, gosh, I'm going to miss my friend so much. And there's his wife and three kids in the front row, and I said, you had the greatest dad ever, and I'm so sorry what happened. But listen, I want to give everybody something today that will comfort all of you. I want you to know that on that day, I kept the rules. I drove the speed limit. How do you think that would go over? Because in relationships, you have to decide. When are you going to follow the rules, and when do you follow the relationship? Now, we've been in the book of Mark for a while, four different stories in the Bible about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Mark is a person that writes a story about Jesus. Mark is like a lot of people. He grew up going to church, and then when he got old enough to, where his parents didn't make him go to church, they couldn't make him anymore, he stopped going to church. But he didn't forget about God. He didn't stop believing in God. He just didn't know how to get church and God into his life at the same time when he didn't want to go to church anymore. So he's the type, someday maybe I'll get back to it. I mean, how do I get God in my life when I don't want church in my life? He was Jewish. He grew up in the Jewish church, and that's Mark. And then he meets Jesus. And Jesus is entirely different. He doesn't talk a lot about religion or rules at all. He talks about having a relationship with God. And Mark buys in. And he writes this story about Jesus. And the whole theme of it is that you have to make this transition. Mark says, transition to having someone to turn to. Did you just jot in your notes somewhere? Grab your pen. Just write this down in the notes. Jesus is about someone to turn to. So Mark grows up in the church and he didn't have anybody to turn to. And then he meets Jesus and he has someone to turn to. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, when you have lots of bills and there's not enough money for it, when your kids go completely crazy, when it's time to do finals at school, and you don't feel like you know the answers, when the end of the month comes and there's not enough money there, when there's lots of pressure at work and you felt like you were doing good and your boss says the quotas are higher, whatever it is, you're traveling all the time, you have trouble in your relationship, your parents are mad at you, you have someone to turn to. Someone to turn to. And so Mark writes this book, and he says, I want to tell you about Jesus. I found out I have someone to turn to. And he starts the book off with the baptism. Jesus got baptized by his cousin John the Baptist, and it was really the only formal thing that he did. And the Pharisees, the church leaders, see it, and they can't figure it out. All these people are flocking to Jesus. They all want to be with him. And they're watching it, wondering, why is this whole crowd coming around this person? Because, listen, Jesus didn't go through any of the formal training of the church. He didn't go to the schools that they said you were supposed to go to. He didn't follow the dress code that they said you were supposed to. He didn't follow the diet that the religious people said you had to. He didn't do any of those things. And all these people are following. He has one simple message. You can turn to God. This is a simple message. And all these crowds around him all the time. There's huge crowds around him. And they're trying to figure out, the Pharisees, the leaders of the church, what is it about him that we don't like? There's this tension in the air. The anger is kind of starting. And yes, he loves everybody. Yes, he's accepting. Guys, but what is there? Something about him. And then all of a sudden, it's like in a moment, they have the aha moment. That's what it is. He never tells anybody about the rules. Jesus never mentions the rules. Jesus, what are you doing? You're forgetting the most important part. You haven't said anything about the rules. It's the most important thing. And Jesus said, no, it's not. Relationships are. That's the big idea this weekend, right? And relationships are more important than the rules. And Mark, he pulls a couple of events out. He has a couple of stories within the story of Jesus that kind of highlights this whole thing. He picks and chooses like we all do when we tell stories. And Mark has these two different events. And so I we'll read some of them. We'll get some ideas on all this. The first part I'm going to read all the way through. So here we go. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And boy, the Sabbath is a rule. Everybody knows about the Sabbath. Big, big, big rule. And these days, the Jewish Sabbath was on Friday to Saturday, and so it was a period of time, and everybody in the community knew this is what you eat, this is what you don't eat, this is what you do. The Sabbath was a huge, huge rule. If there was ever a rule, the Sabbath is the rule. So he pulls this story out. It's about the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples walked along. They began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath? They're breaking the rules. He answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. There's another guy that writes a story about Jesus. His name is Matthew, and he was there that day, and he includes in his version that the disciples were hungry. Now, if you've ever been around 12 hungry guys before, you know the situation. You know how guys are when they're hungry, when the fellows want to eat. And that's what's going on here. You have these 12 guys, and they're all hungry, and they're walking through this grain field, and they decide to take a risk. They know the rules of the Sabbath, by the way. I hardly ever break a rule that I don't understand what the rule is. I know what the rule is. Isn't it true that in all relationships, we know what's okay and what isn't okay, but sometimes we decide to just take our chances? Remember, the definition of a rule is I know how it's supposed to be done in my family, but I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'll just see how it goes. And that's what the disciples do. They know the rule. You're not supposed to do this on the Sabbath. By the way, the church leaders had like tacked on all these extra rules for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was this really cool thing in the beginning. This was a society where they didn't have microwaves, and it was no electricity and plumbing. And God gave him this Sabbath and said, oh, one day a week you just get to relax and hang out with me. It's going to be an easygoing day. And the Pharisees had added all these extra rules onto the Sabbath to the point where everybody hated the Sabbath. It was like the Sabbath was the boring day where you never got to do anything, and that had become what the Sabbath was. It no longer was about God. The Sabbath had become a day to prove how committed you were to the church. Because if you kept the Sabbath, oh boy, you were really committed to your church. And so nobody liked the Sabbath, and the disciples, they know the rules, and they decide, I'm going to break them anyways. So here's the thing. In all relationships, listen to this. In all relationships, there's the, I wonder what will happen if I do this question. Because we know the rules of the family. We know the rules of the relationship, even with God. Maybe right now you know you're breaking a rule. You just know you are. You're like, okay, I think God has a rule about this, but you've just decided, I'm going to break that rule. I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder if it's okay if I break that rule. We have those in our families, in our relationships, and the disciples decide, we're just going to go ahead and break this rule and see what happens. When's the last time you did that? Maybe you're still wondering what's going to happen because you know you broke a rule. And by the way, this is not an anti-rule talk. I don't want this to seem like an anti-rule talk because rules are important. We have to have rules. I mean, can you imagine, no rules? I mean, you're driving down the street and somebody comes up a one way at you the wrong direction. Well, you're glad for rules. I don't like the rules when it comes to the speed limit, but I like the rules when someone's driving down my road backwards. What about, you have someone that you really love and you care about and they're going to be operated on and there's rules for sanitation in the operating room and the surgeon says, pass me the scalpel, and the nurse grabs the scalpel and hands it to him and there's a big chunk of peanut butter on it. And he says, oh, no problem. He just wipes it off on his legs and starts the surgery. And he's like, we need rules. Rules are important. But the question is, when do we suspend them? Because when I stand up to the microphone in the funeral and say, I drove 45 the whole way to the hospital, doesn't that make everybody feel better? It probably doesn't. So it's a give and take. Attention is like, when do I follow the rules? When do I don't follow the rules? And the Pharisees, they come whining and complaining and tattling. Jesus, Jesus, the disciples aren't following the rules. Look what they're doing. Which is kind of a problem. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but somebody comes and talks to you about what somebody else is doing wrong. You're like, I'm not responsible for them. Jesus isn't responsible for the disciples. That happens to lots of parents. Lots of times I talk to parents, and I have been a parent that is guilt-ridden because something that's going on in my family, and I feel responsible for it when I didn't even do it. And they come to Jesus and as if he's responsible. Maybe someone's done that to you. And you wonder, why would these Pharisees come to Jesus? One, he's not responsible for them. Two, he can't change anything they're doing. He's not in charge of them. But they come and they say, Jesus, unless, and maybe this has happened to you before, unless they think that Jesus has given them permission to break the rules. Maybe that's what they think. You're in a family, and the rule of the family is nobody gets tattoos in this family, and then somebody gets a tattoo. One of your cousins gets a tattoo, and somebody comes to you and says, I don't know where they got the idea that it was okay to get those tattoos. And you know who they're talking about. They're talking about you. Or somebody says, I don't know who invited them to that crazy church. None of us go to that type of church. Who do you think gave them that idea? And you know who they're talking about. They're talking about you, but they're not talking to you. Because there's rules in families and there's rules in relationships. When the rules are broken, somebody's going to be confronted. Jesus, Jesus, look what they're doing. And underneath it is probably a subtle accusation. You told them that was okay, huh? That can happen in families and all kinds of relationships. And Jesus is amazing. He doesn't bite on it at all. He doesn't get enrolled in this thing at all. He's trying to correct this problem, actually, because in Jesus' day, in this time of day, people are not pouring into the churches. They're pouring out of the churches. People aren't looking to the church anymore. They're leaving the church in Jesus' day. They're pouring out of the churches, not pouring in. And here's why. Because they've kept the rules, and they've kept the rules, and they've kept the rules, and there's no payoff. At the end of it, they didn't have a relationship with God. They didn't have anybody to turn to. So they just start leaving the churches, and Jesus is showing up trying to correct it. It'd be like this. Let's say that you go to work every day, and there's rules at your job. This is the way we do it here at the company. This is how it's done. And you keep the rules, 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 and you never get a paycheck, ever. No payoff. You keep thinking, oh, someday I'm going to get a paycheck. Someday this is going to come together. You're a husband. And there's rules to being the husband. You keep the rules. You learn how to be romantic, and you learn how to take the garbage out, and you learn how to listen, and you learn how to watch chick flicks, and you learn all the stuff, you get all the rules down of being a husband, but guess what? You don't have a wife. There's no payoff. And that's what church was like in Jesus' day. Keep the rules, keep the rules, keep the rules, but nobody has a relationship with Jesus. Nobody has anybody to turn to. You'll have someone to turn to if you have a relationship, and maybe you're new at this. Just starting out with Jesus, and you have to take that step. And all of a sudden, you're a little behind at work in sales, or you come home and your wife is totally frizzed out by the kids, or, you know, unexpected bills, or whatever it is. When you learn, you take the first step. When you learn to start your day and just saying, Jesus, be with me today. I'm turning to you before I even start my day. And you feel, and I promise you will, and you feel Jesus step in and start to take the pressure off. And it's the greatest thing ever. It's like, phew, I'm not alone. I have someone to turn to. And so Jesus is trying to bring this whole thing in. He tells him, he says, wait, what? He goes, don't you guys remember? He's going to tell him this story about David. You know, David, he killed the giant Goliath. You know, David's the big superhero in Jewish history. And he's sort of like Michael Jordan and Daniel Boone all rolled up together. It's like, David, you know, he's the great one. He's the stuff, you know. He says, don't you remember David? The story about David. And he tells him this story when David was on the run from his life. He's trying to hide from the king of Israel. David, at one point, was kind of like a bandito. And he had like his little tribe of banditos with him. And he's on the run from the king because the king is jealous of him. And he's out in the wilderness. He's got his guys. And he goes rolling into this village. He goes to the church because he needs help. He tells the priest, listen, I need help. I need some food. And the priest says, well, I don't have any food to give you and all your guys. He goes, come on, you got something. He goes, I don't have anything. He goes, all I've got is the bread, the special bread that we give to God. It's on the altar. That's all we have. That's all I have is that bread. He goes, you can't take that bread. And David said, yes, I can. And he takes God's bread. I mean, this is bread you don't touch. You don't, like, go into the sanctuary and take God's bread. That's a bad rule to break. He does it anyways. This is the kind of rule that when you see someone break this rule, this is a bad rule. You know, like somebody says something like, I'd rather worship the devil. You don't work. You, like, step away because the lightning could come down any minute here, man. You know, like a bad rule. And God doesn't do anything. And here's why. He wants to convince David that what David is going through is more important to God than breaking God's rules. This is the classic moment where God could have slammed him and said, how dare you break my rules? But instead, it's the same thing he wants to say to you and me today. You're more important to me than my rules. You broke a bad rule, David. You're still way more important to me. I understand that you need that bread. And so Jesus tries to tell him that. He says, listen, you're more important to God than God's rules. And they have such a hard time understanding it. I mean, you wonder, are they ever going to get it? Because he's just bringing a very simple message to them. Listen, I came to tell you you could turn to God. And so look what happens. Turn your sheet over. The very next chapter in the life of Jesus, let's look at it right here. Another time, talking about Jesus, he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them, these same people now, church leaders, were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. So here it is now. They're all together now. Now they're in the church building. And you're wondering to yourself, did they hear anything that Jesus said at all, and can they apply it? And listen, that's a big thing in relationships. It's a huge thing in relationships. Did I listen, and can I apply anything that they told me? That's a relationship. Jesus told them, he said, listen, the rules don't matter as much as the relationship. And you wonder, can the church leaders hear it at all? And the answer is no. Because this is the way we do it, and this is the way it's done. In fact, it says they're looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, and I relate to this one. Because when someone breaks my rules, I'm on the lookout too. And I'm on the lookout to accuse them. And here's something I've discovered. It's okay to be on the lookout in life, in relationships. I'm on the lookout for a chance to encourage them. I'm on the lookout for a chance to help them. But I have discovered when I am on the lookout to accuse someone because they've done something differently than I think it should be done because that's my rule, and now I'm on the lookout to accuse them, I will always find what I'm looking for. When I'm on the lookout to accuse someone, I will always find it. Every single time. Are you on the lookout with anyone? Is anybody on the lookout with you? There's been this guy at work that's been pissed off at me for 2 or 3 months, and who knows why. And he's been on the lookout, though. You can feel it. He's been watching me, just waiting to see if he could find anything to report me to the management on. It's a pressure. He's on the lookout, trying to catch me. Anybody doing that to you? That's the job of the Pharisees. They're on the lookout. They're watching. Is he going to do anything? They didn't listen to anything Jesus said at all. Let's see what happens in the story as it goes on. Jesus, here, look at how he responds here. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." So Jesus, here's his response to they're on the lookout. He says to this guy, "Stand up in front of everyone." And if I'm the guy with the injured hand, and Jesus says, "Stand up in front of everybody," I'm probably thinking, "Lord, can't we do this in private?" It's like, come on, if it's stand up in front of everybody, they're already mad at you. What do you got to use me as a visual aid for? Did you ever wish God would do something in private in your life and he chose to do it in a way that everybody can see? You're like, God, can't you kind of help a brother out and keep this over on the sideline? And he decided to do a work in your life right in front of everybody. Now, I know that the name of Jesus is a touchy topic. And I know religion is a touchy topic. And I know that we've all know people that have had religion jammed down their throat. So our whole approach is that we don't talk about God and religion. We don't say any of that kind of stuff at all. We keep it off to the side. But you need to know something regardless. This is just, God is the one that does whatever he wants. Sometimes he will ask to do something in your life right in front of everybody. And you may go, "Lord, come on, keep it private." He's like, "No, I'm not going to keep it private. I want everybody to see what I'm doing in your life. Would you be up for that?" And here he stands up right in front of everybody. Jesus says, "Okay, wait, well, hold on. Here's how we're going to do." He goes, "Listen, we've got this argument over whether we should love people or follow the rules, whether relationships matter than rules. Would you stand up just for a second?" I'm sure the guy's like, you ever feel like that right there? Jesus asks you to do something, but other people are watching. He's going to do something in your life. He has the gall to be God and ask to do something in front of everybody. You're sort of like, yeah, and up he goes. Could you stand up? Would you be able to do that? He stands right up. Now let's see what happens in the story. So he stands up. Okay, Jesus asks them, now he's talking to the leaders, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. And here's what Jesus is saying. Write this down. Here's what he's saying. He's saying sometimes in your relationship with God, it will not boil down to right and wrong. In fact, I've discovered in many, many years of marriage, having run into the propeller many, many, many times, that sometimes I am so right and nothing good comes of it. And sometimes I am so right. I've seen this with my children. I've seen it with my wife. I've seen it with my friends. I am so right. This is the way it's done. Why won't they listen to me? And I kill a little bit of the relationship. Someone told me one time, "You know what? Sometimes you're just dead right." And let that sink in a little bit. And Jesus says it. He says, sometimes when it comes to a relationship with God, you say, that's your problem. And the Pharisees are like, nah. No, Jesus, it's about rules. And rules are about right and wrong. You're either right or you're wrong because it's about rules. And it says that they remain silent. They don't say anything. And I have noticed when I make it about right and wrong based on what I say things should be done, and it doesn't go the way I want it to be done, sometimes I'll remain silent too. The same person that's been after me to accuse me, you know, finally we have to sit down with the management, you know, we're sitting down together. And I went in there and I was pretty loaded for bear. I had lots of stories, and I'm like, man, here's all the crap this guy has been doing. You know, I had him cold, and you know, and I kind of, do you ever go into a situation with somebody and you've already written the end of the story on how it's going to turn out? You're at a parade and everybody's praising you and the confetti's flying and they're all praising you because you're such a great person. They're going to make a movie about you because ta-da! You know, and that person's being let off in shackles, shamed because they're a bad person. You know, and that's your vision of the ending. We get into this conversation and I can see it's not ending like that. They have the gall to think that we've both done things wrong. It's not ending like I thought it should have ended. So I got very quiet. Really super silent. Before I went into the meeting, I slipped into the bathroom. I said, God, I got to go into this meeting. I said, what are you going to do? He just spoke one word to me. He said, humility. So I grabbed a business card, and I wrote the word humility on the back of it, and I held it in my hand like this under the table the whole time to remind myself because I felt anything but humble. And I'm looking at the card, and before you know it, I find myself crinkling it up as we're having the conversation. I'm trying to undo it and look at it. I'm not feeling humble, and I just got really prideful and quiet, and I'm like, fine then. If you guys are not going to do this the way it's supposed to be done, fine. I ain't even saying nothing. You ever had anybody do that to you? Because you broke their rules? They won't talk to you anymore. They won't work it out. And then when they do talk to you, you realize it's not really talking. They just have to say some words because you happen to be in the same room. You get really super quiet and prideful. I mean, I've seen it happen in families. Somebody breaks the rules of the family, and then from then on, it's like an acquaintance conversation. Because you didn't do what we said supposed to be done in this family. You didn't live the way this family lives. And so then it just gets really silent, and there's no communication. Has that ever happened to you? Are you doing it to anyone? I guess we can make it personal, like I had to do at work. I got really quiet. And they get really super quiet here. They don't say anything. They're just really, really super quiet. And watch what happens after this. This is pretty good. It says, he looked around at them in anger. Make a note, God can get mad at you. I know we like to see him as like a Peter Pan God, just always smiling and happy and everything, but make a note, God can get angry. So Jesus gets angry, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. So Jesus doesn't say anything, and he's worried about them because they're stubborn. And you know that when I'm following the rules in my family or my relationships or with God, I get really stubborn. This is what stubborn is. I am completely closed-minded to any other possibility. It's going to be my way or no way. And God's pretty concerned for them. He gets angry and he's concerned. He says, whoa, you guys are really super stubborn. Do you know that they are so stubborn? That they are so stubborn that they would rather Jesus follow the rules than heal this guy. I mean, they're like the guy in the story that drives 45 miles. They're really like that. They go, oh, well, you know, it would have been nice if he could have been healed, but at least we followed the rules. Should I heal him? Should I heal him? Or should I follow the rules, Jesus? What are you even saying? They would rather the rules be followed than this injured man be healed by God. You want to know how far it'll go? In you and in me? And have you ever wondered how somebody like Jesus could end up on a cross? You hear about how great he is, and you read the story, and you think, gosh, how did he ever end up on the cross? Let's read it. It starts right here at the very end. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Is that crazy? How far can it go when the rules in the family, when the rules in the relationship are more important than the relationship? How far can it go? Look at a point of application. Number one, what priority do I need to change? Because Jesus is saying to him, boy, you guys have got your priorities messed up, and I guess when you're planning to murder someone, it's a clue. And priorities are hard to change, and our family education was a huge priority when the kids grew up. We handpicked their elementary school. We picked an elementary school that was a long ways away from where we lived, and then we've tried to find a house to move to be next to the elementary school because we wanted this particular school for the boys to go to. It was going to be this elementary school. This was going to be the place for them because that was a huge thing to us. That was one of the rules in our family. This is the way we do it. School matters. I had great teachers when I grew up. School matters. So we get him into this school. So it probably was weird for the principal and the teachers when, as the years went by, every once in a while, I would take my son out of school for the day and go have a dad Sunday. We would just, me and him, would just go do something the whole day during the week. I wouldn't make him go to school. The rules are you go to school every single day. But I broke the rules and made him not go to school so him and I could hang out and have a day together. Because the relationship was more important than the rules. The rules in the family was school makes all the difference. And the school rule was they go to school every single day unless they have triple pneumonia. And my rule was sometimes because of my work schedule. Or sometimes because I could just feel us fading. He wasn't going to school that day. We were hanging out. Did the principal like it? No. Did the school like it? No. Did the teacher agree with it? No. Did I care? Not a bit. Because the relationship mattered more than the rules. And I had to rearrange my priorities. And I want to ask a question now. Here's the question for you today. Is there anything you need to change so Jesus is your priority? Because in your life, this is the way I do it. This is the way it's done. Does anything need to change like that so Jesus is your priority? You just look inside. It's not embarrassing. Just ask the question. Anything need to change? And there'll probably be pushback from you and other people. How dare you not bring him to school? Where was he on Wednesday? Oh, we went to Water World or we spent the day together. What? That's not a good enough reason. It is for me. Anything you need to change to make Jesus your priority? Now, number two, write this down here. How am I being stubborn? And sometimes you're a long ways away from Jesus. You haven't crossed over that line yet. You're going towards Jesus, but you have your rules. I'm not going to get all religious. I don't know Jesus. It's like, I can just be a good person, and you kind of get stubborn. I'm not changing. There was this little girl that did something wrong, and her mother grabbed a chair and took it over into the corner and set the chair down in the corner and told the little girl, now you get over here and sit in this chair. And the little girl goes, I am not doing it. You can't make me. And the mom's like, well, I can make you. I'll take your iPod away, your Nintendo, your car, your cell phone. I mean, four-year-old girl. Like everything, I'm taking everything of yours, you know, baby dolls. You get over here and get in this chair. So, it was like a kid like that, you know. And she walks over to the chair, and her mom says, now sit in it. And the little girl stands in front of the chair and just looks at her. I'm not sitting down. You can't make me. I'll spend your college fund. You don't even know the hell I'll bring to get her that chair, you know. And so the little girl sits down in the chair, and she's smiling at her mom. Her mom says, what are you smiling about? She says, I'm standing on the inside. You ever get like that? So stubborn. Even when they bend you and make you do it, you don't really change because you're stubborn. And some people pat themselves on the back because I'm stubborn. I'm a stubborn person. Oh, that's just how I am. I'm really stubborn. It's almost like it's a good thing. Look what the Bible says about being stubborn. This is in the book of Isaiah. And check it out, we'll read it together. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted. You're far from righteousness. That's in the Bible. Do you know there's a big misunderstanding about being stubborn because I get stubborn because I don't want to quit and feel like a loser? There's a huge difference between being stubborn and being determined. Determination is wonderful because I have an open mind and I can let God come in and change my mind and I can keep going to get something done. But stubbornness is all about me. I'm stubborn and I don't change. Even when you make me sit down, I'm standing. Are you being stubborn with God about anything? Just play it out. He's saying something. He wants you to get baptized. He wants to be first in your money. He wants you to go to someone and ask forgiveness. He wants you to receive forgiveness. He has a little request. No. You being stubborn? And it probably isn't anything other than a habit. Because for a lot of us, and it's a misunderstanding, it's almost like stubborn was a character trait that was a good thing. But you don't need it when you have someone to turn to. You don't have to be stubborn. You can be determined, but not stubborn. Because when you're stubborn, you won't cooperate. And that's the bottom line. The bottom line, Jesus will ask me to cooperate. And he surely will. He goes to the Pharisees. And he says, will you cooperate with me? We have a huge problem in the church and in the community and the country. Everybody thinks the rules are the most important thing, and they're pouring out of the churches. Nobody's close to God, and it's because they don't know how to follow all the rules, and there's no payoff from all the rules. And by the way, the definition of rules are this. This is how we do it. This is how it's done. There may not be a rule book. You could go in the backyard and watch a bunch of little kids playing on the trampoline. There's a tramp back there, and there's no rules for the tramp, but there'll be one little dominant kid that's like, that's not how we jump on the tambourine. Be bossing everybody around. This is how we jump on the tramp. Because you just have rules. This is how it's done. And it had gotten like that to the point where nobody had anything with God. And Jesus said, will you cooperate with me? And the Pharisees said, no. We're not letting go of these rules. I can do that with my husband, my wife, my friend, my boss at work, my sister, my brother. No. I'm sorry, this is how it's done. And there'll be some silence between us until you do it my way. Now to the man in the story with the injured hand, will you cooperate with me? And I'm sure his knees are shaking as he's standing up. He's like, oh man. Yes, I will, Lord. And even though it seems like a rule got broken, he got healed. What will it be for you today? Choose the rules or choose the relationship. Because you do have someone to turn to.